Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
There has been so much hype for the 2024 Houston Texans. To the point where I'm uncomfortable, and I think a lot of people who are Houston sports fans expecting the other shoe to drop on the football team that plays here, whether it was the Oilers or the Texans now. I think everyone's clenched just a little bit. But the hype is real. And yesterday at his press conference with the media, D'Amico Ryans was asked about the idea that the Texans can no longer surprise anyone this coming season.
I don't look at it as a history, right? Between me and Steichen, like, it's about the players playing the game, right? Our players, Shane is a really good coach. He always has his guys prepared, ready to go, really respect him as a coach. And for me, it's, we got to do the same. Like, just have our guys prepared, ready to go, ready for anything that they may throw at us. So it's not about me or Shane. It's about the players who strap it up on the field.
That's D'Amico talking about Shane Steichen there. But he also said, look, we talk about the expectations going into this year and how, like, we expect every single week to give our best and to compete and to win and all that jazz. This is just a question for everybody now that we are officially in the week of the first game of the 2024 season, Texans-Colts in Indy on Sunday. What's the minimum expectation? Because with all this hype, you can't go into this year saying, yeah, whatever happens, happens. No, I think we all want to see them meet a certain threshold. But what is that threshold?
Make the playoffs. Minimum expectation. Make the playoffs in 2024. I know they have a tough schedule, but you have a franchise quarterback. You have a quarterback that people are trying to, including, you know, a lot of us here, are trying to put in the, you know, top five, top seven NFL quarterback category. Well, if he's that guy, then you should be able to overcome the tough schedule. And he should be able to lead you to the playoffs, because Patrick Mahomes, no matter how tough their schedule is, you would ask them to take you to the playoffs, to take the Chiefs to the playoffs. Same thing with Josh Allen. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. And with last year, same thing with Jalen Hurts. Like, if you're going to put a quarterback in that conversation, then at the bare minimum, the expectation for me is to make the playoffs in 2024.
I'm going to go from a different perspective, but along the same lines. They should be in the playoffs. I think you got to win 10. I think you got to win 10.
I'm with that.
There's a world where they don't. It's a very tough schedule this year. But for all the hype they've gotten, for all the praise, for all the rat poison, you got to win 10 games. You can't, because I could see the Texans winning the AFC South at 9-8. You know, we've seen that happen in this god awful, boring ass division before, right?
Yeah, but it's like the same old Texans kind of thing comes up, right? Where You're winning the bad AFC South because
9-7 like your Bill O'Brien.
Yes, like you want to. We gotta move past that. We gotta, you know, you have 10-7. You gotta get double digit wins, win the division, and you've got, you know, a team in Indianapolis who was a play away, a drop away from beating you and keeping you out of the playoffs. You've got Jacksonville, who started the season 8-3 last year. Like, while it is a lesser division than, you know, like, let's say the AFC North, there's still some good teams in it. Every article I read about the NFL and bold takes, and always comes up as like, oh, the Titans will be better than people think this year. I disagree, but even people are higher on the Titans, higher than I thought they would be at least. So, yeah, winning the division, winning 10 games, making the playoffs, I think is a very fair expectation for this season. And if you wanted to push that to winning at least one playoff game again, and at minimum, you know, doing what you did last year, I'm on board with that too.
You should be able to do it. If you make it into the playoffs, I'm going to guess the first round, you will be playing against one of the very many good quarterbacks in the AFC, but your defense should be better, and your offense should be better. So, minimum of one playoff victory, I can totally see that.
Yeah, I think expecting to go to like the AFC Championship game, just when the franchise, even though you're trying to rewrite history with CJ Stroud, you've just never done it. You know, it's even with like, you know, it could be the Texans or even the Lions this year. The Lions have never won a Super Bowl. So expecting them to get there when a franchise has just never accomplished something, it feels hard to set that as an expectation.
It's loser mentality, but it's true.
Yeah. Like it is. Yeah, you're right. It is loser mentality for sure. But I just, how do you expect that to happen when no one that's ever rooted for the Texans has seen it because it's never happened?
I mean, shoot, for the Oilers, it didn't even happen except for back in, what, 79? Mm-hmm. It's been a while. And they may have gotten jobbed in that game because Mike Renfro did catch that ball, 79 against the Steelers at Three River Stadium. From the 415, Texans have to go 12-5 to make me a believer.
Oh, that's a – you got a high bar, my
see,
friend.
This is what fascinates me about – Texans fans, and we see it on the Twitch a lot. We love the Twitch. They're loyal. They're always watching us, but they have real distaste for them on a level I truly cannot understand, especially after last year. But there's a dynamic where there's a lot of people in town that are unimpressed by anything that this team does. And it's been that way where the standards for a lot of people, I guess the people that aren't have never fully embraced them.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that since 2011, 2012, I feel like there has been oversized expectations, almost demands from this fan base. And again, look, there's been some really bad years of late. So if you're jaded from the last couple of years, I get it. But in 2018, this team won 9 games in a row and no one cared.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this idea like, well, who do they do it against? I don't know. It's 9 games in a row. It's still impressive. So that part is here in this Texans fan base. There's a lot of people where maybe this year's different because there's certainly a lot of hype going into the year. And I think most people are optimistic, but it's a cautious optimism. But there is a subsection of the fan base here that I think has unrealistic. That's not a hard word to think of. Unrealistic expectations for this franchise. And if they don't meet them, they're like, F them. I hate them.
Yeah, and then, yeah, there's really no middle ground. You have the unrealistic expectation, and then you just have the mentality that they're always going to be losers, that no matter what, that, like, you, even though you've seen CJ Stroud after 1 year, like, you don't want to buy in yet. You know, this texture, 12-5, to make you a believer, I don't know how, after watching last year, you're not hook, line, sinker. I mean, I guess it's being cautiously optimistic about this franchise that just hasn't succeeded in a major way, but it's okay just to see something that's different. Like, this is something that the franchise has never had, because even though we like Deshaun, you know, he got hurt after, what, 6 games his rookie year. I know Bill O'Brien was probably just stubborn, but he didn't even win the starting job. He should have from the beginning. But, like, there was – Deshaun had flashes of greatness, and we saw how it ended. But look what it's turned into now, where CJ, it just feels different. I don't think we were having this conversation in 2018 because of the injury that Deshaun Watson was a top 5 quarterback like we've had about CJ Stroud. It's okay to think higher and better about this franchise without also having to think they have to win 12 games to make you a believer. I get it, because every time it seems like they want people to believe, they stumble. Like, that's probably the biggest thing, is every time people get close, they stumble in some way.
You should also be a believer, because I think pretty clearly that D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud are going to be here for a long time, are going to be really good at what they do for a long time, where there's a chance. I mean, we talked about last week, Joe, with the coach quarterback tandems. How many of them do you take before you get to D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud? And a lot of guys that won Super Bowls, and then it's kind of these two guys.
Yeah.
So I think for you to be bought in, like, you should kind of already be bought in on the long-term CJ Stroud, D'Amico Ryans era for the Texans, because I do think it'll be they're going to have a lot of years together, because think about it. Like, it seems like they went all in on this year. They made a bunch of win now moves, but they didn't really go all in. Like, this isn't a make or break year. This isn't a situation like the Bills were in last year, or like the Eagles are in this year, where if they win 10 games and lose in the first round of the playoffs, like, oh my God, guys are getting fired, the roster's getting turned over. Like, they don't have to pay CJ Stroud for another 2 years after this. Like, they can keep rolling. They didn't use all their cap space this year. They can keep rolling this over to where they're going to have a long window to get this done. And you should probably already be a believer.
I think we all should be believers. I agree with that. To the point you said about all in, they're not quite all in.
Yeah.
But this is the most aggressive offseason they've ever had. You can't deny that. I mean,
yes.
They added Stephon Diggs and a guy who had 16 and a half sacks last year, and a guy who had 10 sacks and suspended the first six games. But yeah.
But the flexibility they have, they can be very aggressive next offseason too.
You would think so, given the way that they
structure
the contracts.
If they wanted to. But that's the thing, where it feels like this is some, in a weird situation, so new, because these guys only coached or played 1 year together. But at the same time, it does feel like we kind of zoom to they need to be in the Super Bowl or close to the Super Bowl. It's like, actually, it's not that dire of a situation yet.
Yeah, it's just it's a beat down fan base, I think, in a lot of ways, that some people are unrealistic. And maybe that's why that exists, is because the unrealistic expectations of the past that have been put on this franchise.
But it's funny, I'm trying to think of the last time there were really big expectations for this year. Maybe going into 2018, and by the way, they made the playoffs. They just lost in the first round. And that game was very disappointing. I thought Deshaun Watson looked like ass in that game and doesn't get nearly enough blame. Everyone loved to blame O'Brien for those moments.
And against the Colts, right? That was the Colts
game. Yeah, that was the Colts game. Yeah. Couldn't read a blitz.
But were there higher expectations than now? This is like
19?
Five or six. Yeah, was there more, or was it 18 was more expectation? By 19, people were kind of beat down by the O'Brien era.
18 people, I think, were sick of O'Brien.
Yeah, okay.
19, ironically, 19, I mean, they won that ugly-ass game in the divisional round, and then they had the lead on the Chiefs, and then everything went to bleep.
Yeah.
But I don't think the expectations were very big going into that year, even though they traded for Laremy Tunsil.
I think coming out of that year, they were huge, right? Like, after blowing the Chiefs game? Because obviously we know, when thought 2020 was going to be the disaster that it was, the Hopkins trade and everything. It's like, hey, you hung with the Chiefs for a playoff game. The team that just won the Super Bowl.
I think, like, until the Hopkins trade.
Yeah, and then the Hopkins trade happened. So it's like, in that small window that we had, maybe then it was this high. But when you're hearing multiple people pick the Texans to go to the Super Bowl this year, I don't remember that happening.
Yeah,
I really can't think of that happening.
It's this year, number one, I think, pretty easily.
No one nationally has ever picked them Super Bowl until this year.
12 or 13 is probably close, 18, and then maybe 19.
12 going into 13 when they signed Ed Reed, there were some, but I was out. I remember I was out in the middle of 12. I was out right before the Letterman jacket game. Oh, Paul right about football? Oh, wow. Damn, what a surprise.
We're doing our prediction videos this week, so get yours. Get
I was
yours
right
ready.
Last year, for those who remember.
Paul was right.
Hashtag
Paul was right.
10-7. Interesting question. We're going to answer this on the other side from Catfish317. If you believe in CJ, talking about the minimum expectations for the Texans this year, Joe said,
make the playoffs.
I said 10 wins. Sean, you real quick.
I think do what you did last year.
Do what you did last year.
Yeah, 10 wins, win a playoff game.
Catfish317 on the Twitch continues. The only answer is win one playoff game. Or are you hoping C.J. Stroud is Dak Prescott?
No, it's.
I would say I'm hoping for that.
So let's answer that. Yeah. Let's answer that on the other side. Joe's disgusted by that question. Let's answer that on the other side. It is Galata George. He is Joe. I am Paul. Sean behind the glass. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, at some point this year, the Texans are going to play on ESPN. And you want to be able to watch it. DirecTV and DirecTV Stream customers, you have lost ESPN, including college football, Monday Night Football, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, Astros on there on Sunday, SportsCenter, and more. Take action now. Call 844-KEEP-MY-ESPN or visit keepmyespn.com.
Tasty boot.
You're back with Galata George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Joe George was disgusted by a question asked on the Twitch. I saw it in his eyes. I just saw the disgust. Wasn't the disgust over the bootlicking he did right after that. No, it was the if you believe in CJ, wrote Catfish317 on the Twitch. The only answer, minimum expectations for the Texans, is win one playoff game, or are you hoping CJ Stroud is Dak Prescott? So what part of that question did you not like?
It's year two. So trying to say just make the playoffs and then trying to then correlate that to put him into the Dak Prescott conversation, it's way too early for that. It's way too early for that.
What do you mean by way too early? Because Dak Prescott had better numbers than Stroud last year. Uh-oh, he did it!
Dak's been in the league for years. He's about to be on his third contract. CJ's on in year two. Dak Prescott's been in the NFL since 2016. And is yet to win. I think has he won two playoff games in a year? I don't think so.
No, because if you win two playoff games, you're in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, good point. Not made it there.
Good point.
No, I think it's been 0-1, 1-1, 0-1, 1-1, 0-1 in his career. So he's played seven playoff games.
Yeah, the expectations change more, I think, in 2025 for this team. If you go into the season, you win 10 games, you make the playoffs, you win a playoff game, you're more competitive, at least in your next one. I think that's fair to include in this expectations, that you're not going to get, you know, just dominated like the Ravens did to you last year. You're going to hang with the Chiefs or hang with the Ravens, whoever you play in the second round of the playoffs. Those are all fair expectations. Now, when you get to 2025, if you achieve that, the bar gets raised. That's when I do think you can say, okay, even though this franchise has never been to an AFC Championship game, it's time to raise the bar and look forward to that. Because at some point, you do have to raise the standard.
Yep.
And I just don't think we're there just yet. I think we're on the cusp of that.
What do you think would change it going into next year more? Is it them going to the second round of the playoffs? Is it a high win total, a CJ Stroud MVP, or something like that? Because if they do the same thing that they did last year, this year,
it's almost
you want to push the expectations up. Yeah. But I feel like to honestly push those expectations up and not just do it because we're greedy, he does have to do one of those things. Like they have to have like a 14-3 regular season, or they have to make it to the second round before we can realistically push it up. Because guess what, guys? Sorry to, you know, throw a wet blanket over all the hot takes, but football's hard. The NFL's hard. The AFC, really hard.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about like the Astros. In 2015, they make the playoffs. They lose in a competitive series. I don't think anyone had expectations for them in 2016 besides make the playoffs, which they didn't do. But then they won the World Series in 2017. And for the Texans, similarly, to your point, like until they actually do it, it is hard to put those expectations on them. But I to go back to the Dak Prescott comparison here, at some point you never want to be having that conversation. Is CJ Stroud just Dak Prescott? Are they just doing what the Cowboys have done, which is make the playoffs as a division winner or a wild card team, winning the game and then going home?
Yeah, at a certain point there, if you go win one, lose one, or lose one, I mean, you just do what Dak Prescott's done, where you alternate between one and done and winning one and then losing. At a certain point, the expectation just rise the more you play, the more you're viewed as a star quarterback. Right now, he's still kind of in that young star kind of category where it's, still kind of house money to do whatever he wants in the playoffs, but pretty quickly, you turn into Lamar Jackson or Peyton Manning, where it's can you do it in the playoffs?
Yeah,
and I don't think anyone's there yet. I mean, he played fine in the second Baltimore game.
He needs to have the kind of game in the playoffs where he's throwing multiple backbreaking interceptions, like we saw from Lamar Jackson in the AFC Championship game. We've gotten enough of Lamar Jackson where you can question him as a playoff performer, and with Dak, he's kind of proof that football is hard, but Dak's had a bunch of, despite great regular seasons, we would have killed for him a couple of years ago until we got CJ Stroud. He's had a couple of moments in the playoffs where you're like, damn, dog, like that's on you. That L is on you.
But with Lamar, like, yes, we can all say that, you know, the expectation doesn't rise until you get there. Well, Lamar, we are at the point where, hey, dude, you're going to have to make a Super Bowl. Like, you're going to have to do that at some point. Like, that he hasn't proven that he can do it, but it's been enough years to where we feel comfortable asking more from him. Justin Herbert, the same way, where, hey, he hasn't won a playoff game. Or he made one playoff game and lost. That's it. And as the years stack up, it's, hey, Justin Herbert, do it in the playoffs. And that's what C.J. Stroud, if he keeps doing, or if he has the Dak Prescott, if he is Dak Prescott, there will be a point where, in year, 2025 or 2026, going into the year, it's C.J. Stroud needs to prove it in the playoffs.
I mean, Lamar has an MVP. So, like, when you win, no, it's two MVPs. When you add that trophy to your collection, the expectations just, they change for your franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it with the Rockets, that even though they didn't get to the finals, James Harden winning MVP, you view the team differently. When the voters say you have the best player in your sport, the assumption is that you are a Super Bowl caliber team. So if CJ were to achieve something like that, even though they only won one playoff game this year, then yeah, going to 2025, it raises the bar even higher. I just don't think it's fair to say with this schedule in year two, in which things are going to be harder, to say 12, 13 wins, go to an AFC title game, go to a Super Bowl, because it still was objectively the worst roster in the NFL last year, and CJ and D'Amico did wonders with it.
At least going into the year.
Yeah, going into the year.
It was better than we thought it was going
100%.
To be.
100%. But they've added to it. So now I just want to see them not have games, like they did against the Carolina Panthers. If you win 10 games, don't lose to the Vikings. Don't lose to the Patriots. Beat the teams that you're supposed to beat and be competitive in the games. Don't have a game like you did against the Jets when you play them this year.
Jets, Panthers,
on Halloween.
And Falcons. Yeah, you had no business losing those three last year.
Yeah, like you just can't do those things.
Mm-hmm. And you almost lost. I mean, there are other teams too that were about on your level. The Bucs were about on your level last year. You barely beat the Bucs, but you did beat them. And that was where CJ Stroud had his first signature moment. From the 713, interesting question. LMAO, all caps. It's too early to put expectations on CJ Stroud, but not too early to call him a top five quarterback in the league?
I didn't say him, the team. I mean,
we're talking about expectations, minimum expectations for those just tuning in. We've been doing this for the last 25 minutes or so. Minimum expectations for the Texans this coming season.
Yeah, I do think those are different.
I agree.
I think
individual versus the actual team. The individual expectations for Stroud is going to be top three candidate for MVP.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's stats. Stats for losers, final scores for winners. And I'm more interested in talking about whether or not this team is going to be able to go further than they've ever gone before. And that's the conversation we're having. F this MVP stuff. We did this with James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I don't care.
It was the worst thing we ever did as a city. It's the worst thing we ever did. And, I mean, we got center point energy here. But it's the worst thing we ever did. James Harden versus Russell Westbrook. Kill me again. I'm like, oh, my God. That was awful. The worst. We're talking about the minimum expectations for this team.
I do not care if he wins MVP ever.
I'd like to see him win an MVP.
I'd like to see him win it. But if he never does, it doesn't mean he can't win a Super Bowl.
I don't want him in the same category as Russell Wilson.
Yes, I don't want him in that category either. I would like him to be in a category that puts him in easily the top echelon of conversations. You don't want him to be Josh Allen, who struggles in the playoffs. You don't want him to be Dak Prescott. You don't want him to be those guys that come close but can't get the job done. It'd be more fun, if you're thinking about beating Patrick Mahomes and seeing that happen in the playoffs. But, CJ Stroud having a top three MVP season, yes, those are the expectations for him. But for the team, because this is still a team that one of the pass rushers you invested in is not going to be available the first six games, that your starting cornerback outside Derrick Stingley Jr. is a rookie, that one of your impact safeties this year is going to be a rookie. Your offensive line, Titus Howard, doesn't stay healthy. You've got a huge question mark at running back between Mixon and Pearson Akers. Like, how effective are they going to be? I expect C.J. Stroud to be great. I just don't think that has to translate into a 13-win football team this year in 2024.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. You want to weigh in on your minimum expectations for the Houston Texans this season? You can. 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can join us on our YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can also join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. And by the way, guys, We got our listener party coming up. It's the 20th, okay? It's going to be here, our listener appreciation party, and we got a limited amount of guaranteed admission tickets available for purchase, including food and drink. You got to be 21 plus to entertain to attend. What? God, I'm having a tough time reading today. Head to ESPN975.com under the promotions tab to secure your tickets now. Up next, we continue our countdown to the start of the NFL season. Number two features a man who sued the Houston Texans. I don't know if he won, but he did sue them. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. We're talking about minimum expectations for the Houston Texans this season. If you are somebody whose minimum expectation is for the Texans to win the Super Bowl, you're delusional, but hey, you can bet on that at MyBookie.ag and get some bang for your buck. They are plus 1,600 to win the Super Bowl this year. Man, we're getting deep into the weeds, huh? Was it Super Bowl 68? Is this crazy? Can I count? Is this 58? My bad. I can't count. I can't read. Can't count. It's Roman numerals. Piss off, Joe. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. They don't make you worry about Roman numerals. The numbers are in American right in front of you. Or Arabic. I don't know. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. You can play blackjack. You can do poker. You can do all sorts of things with live dealers, bet on the presidential election, Super Bowl futures as well. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We are 2 days away from the start of the NFL season. It is literally on Thursday.
Yes.
Best number twos in NFL history. Matt Ryan, he won an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Flutie.
Legend.
He had some good years at the end.
Won a Heisman.
That's true. Aaron Brooks, remember him? Saints had some fun times in the early 2000s with Ricky Williams. Tim Couch.
Nah, that didn't
go so well. Welcome back to football, Cleveland Browns. Tim Couch is not going to be the guy. And on top of that, you're going to have a different starting quarterback multiple times every single year going forward, including perhaps this year. I took Jameis Winston in the two quarterback league. I'm in. I think Voss is going to get benched.
Really?
I think it's going to happen.
Can we talk about this two quarterback league?
It's fun, isn't it?
Because
no, we have questions.
You picking a backup quarterback isn't the wildest pick that I know about that was made.
Oh, this is a different league, but okay.
Yeah, we need
We'll do
point.
That 145.
Okay, we need a carve out time.
One of my best friends had perhaps the craziest pick ever in fantasy football last night, and I'm not sure it's allowed, but we'll get to it at 145.
Okay, good.
Also on the table, Justin Verlander. Is he going to be Justin Verlander ever again? But let's continue.
Yes.
2 days away from the start of the NFL season. David Akers also with the Eagles. He had a fun moment at the NFL draft where he just dumped on Cowboys fans. That was fun.
He was very good at that.
Some old NFL players. How about this guy's name? Patty the Wasp Driscoll.
What a nickname.
Played for the Chicago Cardinals and Chicago Bears.
Should know who that is probably then.
They don't do nicknames like the Wasp anymore.
Probably would be considered problematic, like offensive to white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Oh.
Although, it does seem to be the one group that is totally in bounds at all times.
Was Patty, yeah.
Patty the Wasp Driscoll. There's Patty the Wasp Driscoll again, and he just kicked a 50-yard dropkick field goal. And by the way, that he did that. He kicked a 50-yard dropkick field goal. It's pretty sick.
Trevor the Wasp Lawrence. Mm-hmm. No, doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Who's waspy enough to get that nickname in the NFL?
Daniel Jones.
Kirk Cousins.
No. Well, yeah, that would work too.
Wasps are the worst. So you could use it either
way. The bugs.
The bugs, not the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Yes, the bugs.
Careful.
They are terrible, though.
I don't want to get canceled.
As I've said before, a mixture of one, mint extract and lemongrass extract sprayed all over your porch will work. Someone said that if you paint your ceiling of your porch light blue, it'll keep them away. Actually, not true, because I did that.
Guess what, Paul? You told me that once. And guess what I did?
What that?
I used my ears and I listened.
You did it.
And I did it and it worked.
It actually worked.
And now I got a follow-up question.
Yeah?
Something happened with the rain. And yesterday, I got eaten alive on my feet by fire ants.
Oh, that's bad.
Just walking into my house.
I don't know anything about fire ants.
Damn it. Come on, Paul.
I don't know.
Like, I thought you were going to be like my bug guy.
I'm not Scott McGrath.
Okay? I thought Paul was going to be the bug guy.
No, no, I'm not Scott.
You got a wasp problem.
Leave that to Scott.
I mean, I need someone to help me out here.
You'll see him at the listener party.
Yeah, so Twitchers, if you got anything.
Just ask Scott at the listener party. But
I don't think I can wait that long. 17 days for a fire ant problem?
That's a lot. That's a lot of time. Our arch rival high school, now coached by Mike Allstott. Yes, that guy.
That's awesome. Crazy.
I love Mike Allstott. But I saw, by the way, not even kidding, saw a guy in Massachusetts when I was on vacation wearing a Mike Allstott jersey, just walking his dog down the street.
I think I've seen one in a while.
But the arch rival high school of mine, Northside Christian in St. Pete, Florida, fire ants on the effing field, on the visiting team sideline. BS. F those bastards. I hope they all didn't go on to success in life.
You think they planted them there?
That's on purpose.
Yeah.
100%.
I felt like it was, too. Walt Kiesling, also a number two, 2 days away from the start of the NFL season. He played for the Duluth Eskimos.
Okay.
And the Pottsville Maroons. I love the old team names.
Yeah.
I don't know where the hell either of those places are.
That's way better than, like, Jaguars.
Mm-hmm. Well, Duluth is in Minnesota.
Okay, yeah, Duluth Trading Company.
Yeah.
They got that advertisement.
Where's Pottsville?
The Husky guy in his boxers. I don't know.
Someone's dorm room?
I got him.
Ba-doom-tsh.
That was nice. The Oilers had a kicker named Skip Butler from 1972 to 1977. But I want to talk about former Texas punter Brett Hartman. Brett Hartman, you might remember, in 2012, sued the Harris County Convention and Sports Corporation. Why? Because he believes that NRG Stadium's surface caused a career-ending injury. This unsafe turf ended his career because he had a knee injury. I remember when this happened, and I didn't really know about what the Houston Texans situation was on the field at NRG Stadium. But for those who don't know, NRG Stadium, then Reliant Stadium, used to have a system of pallet grass.
Mm-hmm.
So there were these, I want to say like 4 by 4 feet pallets that had natural grass on them. And they were put into the stadium, put out in the sun so that the grass grows, and then they would put them into the stadium. And the field routinely was a mess where it led to serious injuries for Wes Welker
mm-hmm.
of the New England Patriots, missed field goals by Adam Vinatieri of the New England Patriots. These are random things that are in the back of my mind. Also, this field surface may have led to D'Amico Ryans suffering a season-ending injury.
He sued the Texans.
Well, with the Philadelphia Eagles, you're right, he did. Jadeveon Clowney, his first game with the Houston Texans, stepped in a divot. DJ Swearinger told us that he stepped in a divot. He's out for the first half of the year. That was criminal, what the Texans were doing back in the day at Reliant Stadium. I'm glad they moved on. They tried something new where it had natural grass. Incredibly, the natural grass was probably worse than AstroTurf.
Well, yeah, because there's seams in the middle.
Yeah, there were seams in the field. I remember vividly, before a Sunday night football game, watching the disgusted look on Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth's face as they walked across the field looking at the absolute crumbling wreckage underneath them. It was terrible.
It's crazy that so many teams in the league, and it's not the entire league, but there's a lot of fields where when there's a game played there, you're like, oh, this field's going to be a wreck. Like Washington.
Pittsburgh, like Pittsburgh for a while.
Soldier Field.
Chicago. MetLife. Like, yep. There's a lot of ones that are just off the top of our heads are like, that is a disaster of a field.
MetLife is actually artificial, but you're right, because everyone criticizes it all the time, including, I think, the Texans did after the
Jets game.
But this field was in existence for a while, and unlike the Cardinals Stadium where they just slide the field in.
Yeah, Vegas, outside. I think, does the same thing. Yeah.
Right.
So cool.
It's really cool. For whatever reason, the Texans decided to do this pallet grass system. It was effing stupid in retrospect. They could have done it in a totally different way. It's not like there's a lot of things that could potentially be, you know, obstructing you from sliding a field into your stadium. You are literally in a giant parking lot next to a genital wart-looking building called the Astrodome that has been, for whatever reason, protected from destruction by former Harris County Judge Ed Emmett.
They could have also just done... They could have just done turf.
Yeah.
Like, they could have... They very easily could have
they
just
could
done,
have.
Done turf. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad it's... I we don't get complaints about this anymore. I actually kind of forgot what the solution that they came up with was. But, yeah, it was a disaster all the time.
And there's... I can't... I remember looking for this when they hired D'Amico. Because I don't think anyone asked him about it. Because, like, you're not going to do that in a first press conference back. Yeah,
someone should have, though.
Someone should have.
You know who would have? And he's in England now. Yeah. Brian T. Smith.
Yeah.
But I might have, but I was there. And
yeah,
I
also, was that the one where you're sitting right next to the McNairs? No,
that was the
Casario
press conference. Yeah, they just let him sit out there.
A couple weeks before, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can't find anything about the D'Amico Ryans or the Bret Hartman lawsuits. And if they were resolved or anything. Like, I've looked all over. Like, there's no... You probably wouldn't hear the figure, but, like, you just do a quick Google search. And the Bret Hartman one, you get to tab 2... And it turns into Brett Favre because it's just such like an unknown story of like what's happened with it. And same with D'Amico. I'm just D'Amico. They must have solved in some way for him to come back as the head coach. They must have given him a chunk of change.
I would think so.
Yeah,
I would think so. I mean, they did hire him to be their head coach too. So I don't know. I'd probably
let bygones be bygones.
I would let bygones be bygones.
Yeah, it was drop the suit or whatever, and then move along.
Oh, do you think that was like contingent? Hey, D'Amico, we'll give you the job.
Can you not be actively suing us when we hire you?
The lawsuit was from like 10 years ago, so it's probably solved.
I honestly have no idea if this Bret Hartman lawsuit ever resulted in Hartman getting something. I truly do not know. I looked all morning, could not find it.
Normally, these kind of things stay on the DL. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they might have paid him.
Yeah, if anything, they probably just gave him like, took care of like the medical bills. Mm-hmm.
Not a lot happening in the actual NFL as we continue our countdown. We're very close to the start of the regular season. Justin Matabuike, who one of the Houston Texans to sign this offseason, he is now going to go by Namdi Matabuike.
Okay.
It's like when Shaquille Leonard changed his name from Darius to Shaquille on the Colts.
Yep.
Or like, this is one of my favorite sagas, the many names of Robbie Anderson.
Oh, what's he at now? It's Chosen?
Well, I think he's actually changed it back. I could be wrong, because I actually have lost track. Robbie used to be Robbie Anderson, R-O-B-B-Y. He then changed his name to R-O-B-B-I-E, Robbie. He then changed his name to Chosen. Joe, what is his name now? Because I honestly don't even know.
Wikipedia says now it's Robbie Chosen. Wasn't it Chosen Anderson? And then now he's changed.
He was Chosen Anderson for a little bit, yes.
Wikipedia says Robbie Chosen.
Is it Robbie and then quotes like Irvin Magic Johnson?
No, it just says Chosen.
I think it's Robbie Chosen, like he's a Southerner. Like, oh, it's Betty Sue. Oh, it's I'm trying to think of another a man's version of it, but you know.
Robbie Chosen. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's Robbie Chosen. He was on the back.
Like Marianne?
Yeah, yeah. Something like that. So there you go.
We'll see. We'll find. Because apparently he's on the 49ers, which I
so the
no
Niners.
Idea.
Okay. Okay. That's the only NFL news. I'm not even kidding. It's just
Trent Williams is back for the 49ers.
Okay.
That's interesting.
That's cool.
Because he was going to hold out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could ever change my name. Well, I feel like you have to go to like the DMV and fill out paperwork. And at that moment, I am out.
Yeah, that part. That
and then to do it like Robbie Chosen Anderson, to do it 3 different times, it's like, that is way too much paper.
I mean, look, my wife hasn't changed her last name yet, because it's so much.
Whoa.
Well, so there's all this legal paperwork.
Man card.
I know, but there's all this legal paperwork with the restaurant, with their family business. They'd have to rip up all of it and redo all of it. So I'm like, whatever. Just change it on Facebook and Instagram.
My sister still has her last name.
Oh, really?
Like a lot of family. Stays strong.
Nice. All that really matters,
family line.
Yeah.
All that really matters.
I'm not
going to
have kids though. Yeah, yeah. He's my nephew and my niece. They got 2 last names.
Oh,
Ivan?
Yeah.
We didn't do that. That's interesting.
Is Gallant first?
It is.
There we go. Oh, there we
go. I like that.
They're a great family. It was very cool to see them in Massachusetts this past week. If I could change my name, I know what I'd do.
Yes. Bruce?
Why Bruce?
Bruce Wayne?
No. You silly fool. I would change my name to Dontavious.
Dontavious?
I've always wanted to do that. Because I just want to see how surprised people are when they see my name. Like, oh, you do not look like what I expected. Like, you do not look like that.
Yeah, like I imagine like filling like out like a Texans credential request.
Yeah.
And being Dontavious Gallant.
Or just like picking up your food at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't give it to you.
No, they would give it to you.
Even if you showed them your ID.
Hey, Chick-fil-A does a great job. Chick-fil-A would do it well.
Yeah, they'd be like, my pleasure, Dontavious.
Yeah, I've wanted this for a while.
Honestly, okay, so this isn't because of Dontavious Wicks, the right. Green Bay Packers receiver?
I don't even know who that is. Okay. No, I don't even. Is that a real person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll email Michael Carroll and say, hey, let's flip up some new rejoins.
It's the Dontavious Gallant Show. Doesn't it roll off the tongue?
Dontavious and Joe on ESPN.
Yeah. Why not? Can I do that? Am I going to get canceled for that? We'll see. We'll see. Is Paul going to be on the air at the end of this segment? I don't know. Anyway, Sean Mapes behind the glass. He's Joe. I'm Dontavious. Gallant and George. What? I'm workshopping it. Coming up next. Look, no one cares about fantasy football teams that are talked about by talk radio hosts, but I'm telling you, something happened in my fantasy football league yesterday at the live draft that we did at the Porch Wing Pub that needs to be shared. This is one of the... I honestly love this move. What are we talking about? You'll find out next. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Two things on the table for today's show. 2 o'clock, we'll get back into where you're at with Justin Verlander. Joe believes he no longer is superhuman.
Mm-hmm.
We're also talking about our minimum expectations for the Houston Texans with week one Sunday in Indianapolis. We got a couple of texts. This one, a two-parter from the 713. Can't talk big and then get scared of expectations. The Texans roster is loaded. Gotta get to the AFC championship with this talent.
All right. I don't agree, but if that's the expectations you want to hold them to, I do respect it, I will say.
The trick is, yes, they're talented, but are they more talented than the Chiefs? Are they more talented than the Ravens, who throttled them twice last year? Those are the two teams that you got to say that they're more talented than, to say that, yeah, they're so talented they should be in the AFC championship game.
You know what's really weird? I think they are more talented than the Chiefs.
But is that because of name brand, or is that because of
something
else?
Like, L'Jarius Sneed was a great corner. Now he's in Tennessee, so he's gone from the Chiefs. So Sterrick Sealy Jr. is better than what they have. I don't think Justin Reed's that much better than the safeties. Chris Jones is an elite player for the Chiefs on the defensive line. He's definitely better than Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, but is he better than them combined? No. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is way better than C.J. Stroud, but the wide receivers are definitely better in Houston. Now, they have Travis Kelce.
Got Marquise Brown this offseason. Rashee Rice, who is not getting suspended, which is amazing.
Their offensive line is better.
Like, I think on paper, you could probably make the argument the Texans are...
Pacheco's better than Mixon.
More talented, but it doesn't matter because they have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. On paper, yes, the Texans might be better than the Kansas City Chiefs if you just looked at player for player of their top 22 guys, but you still have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. So that's why talent doesn't even necessarily matter. Like, are the Ravens more talented than the Texans? Yes.
Based off the results last year.
Yeah, they sure were last time they played.
But when they meet this year, on Christmas Day, I expect the line to be close to 3 mm-hmm. from Vegas. And if they, if the Texans handle that game, I'll be picking them to win in the playoffs no matter what because of what Lamar has done in the postseason. So, That's why it's hard to say. Like, yes, the Ravens are better, but Lamar Jackson's their quarterback. And he struggles in the playoffs.
From Virginia Buttonweed, talent should include coaching. Sorry, Reed better than D'Amico.
100%.
I do think that is the edge. That's probably
one of the only coaches where it's like a clear edge, I would say, too. Mm-hmm.
I have a piping hot take about this week's matchup that involves D'Amico Ryans. We'll save that for later in the week. Another text. Stroud has a different aura around him than Dak Prescott because a Twitcher brought up the idea, like, are you expecting C.J. Stroud to be Dak? If Stroud doesn't win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years, I'll pull a Florida State University fan and eat dog doo-doo. Well, that person deleted his tweet. For those who don't know, a Florida State fan, we talked about this in Garbage Time yesterday, he said that he would eat a red Solo cup filled of dog doo-doo with a spoon if Boston College, led by Bill O'Brien, beat Florida State. Guess what happened? Boston College won, and he deleted his account.
He deleted his account at halftime. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't make it to halftime.
That's kind of the funniest part.
Now, he's apparently brought it back, and he's like, I'm not doing this, coward.
Did he bring it back?
And he brought it back. And then he tried to, like, do some stupid thing where he's like, if you follow this account, then I'll still do it. No.
Everyone should unfollow that person if they were following him already, which why?
I can't imagine that many people were.
So, yesterday I did a fantasy football draft. Mm-hmm. Porch Swing Pub. I love Porch Swing Pub. Mondays they have 50 cent wings. Mm. Oh, man. Are they 50 cent? I think they're 50 cent. Yeah, they're 50 cent. They got some good deals there. There's actually, I'm not even kidding, there's a picture with me and my friends on the wall. So if you ever go there,
really
look for the picture. I'm in it. I had a much swarthier beard back then. But in this fantasy draft, which is fun, 12 buddies who used to go out drinking together all the time, but now 8 of the 12 have kids and families, all that stuff. But it's cool. We all get to catch up. We have fun traditions. It's one of those ones where you draft and then you put up a name from a sticker up on a board. Mm-hmm. If you take too long, if you accidentally try to put up somebody who's already been taken, you have to chug a beer. Some other rules. But one of my friends did something yesterday that I'm actually impressed by, even though it was a terrible move. I'm not talking about drafting our friend Cameron Dicker in the 11th round. Dicker the kicker.
What a steal.
He got paid. I once got drunk with Cameron Dicker in addition to this friend who made this pick.
I don't think I know that story.
I kind of embarrassed myself that night. So, yeah, it's fine. Got a little Debbie Downer. Sometimes when I have alcohol, I'm a little bit of a Debbie Downer.
So what did this person do?
So this is the move that blew my mind, and I loved it. This person in our keeper league.
How much of a keeper league? Like, you get him for 1 year?
3.
Okay.
This person in a keeper league took Arch Manning, who is a redshirt freshman quarterback at Texas, with his 17th round pick out of 17 rounds.
What a wild move.
I love it.
At least he waited until
so you get now. Okay, so when you said keeper league, I wasn't sure how long you got to keep him.
He's going to have to keep him for 2 years, right? I mean, is he eligible to be drafted until after next season?
26th draft is the earliest.
So if you get to keep him for 3 years, the third year he has him will be Arch's rookie year.
If he leaves after next year.
This is, might I add, the defending league champion.
He does not take this league. That's it.
He does not.
He's getting too comfortable.
He also drafted Chase Edmonds thinking it was Gus Edwards.
That's fun.
Chase Edmonds is out for the year.
Hey, man, if there's ever an opening, let me know.
Dude.
Because, like, I think if this guy won the league, I think I won in.
I got to say, as someone who generally has one of the best teams, and I'm essentially the Buffalo Bills of this league, I've won it once, but I came 1 point away from a perfect season 1 year. F me. I still didn't win the title.
Eli Manning?
Hmm?
Did Eli Manning rob that one?
No, it was something really dumb. It's like, okay. I lost by half a point. I'm still mad about it. But, this man drafted Arch Manning. Is that allowed? I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do this. He's going to have to, I think, operate this year down a roster spot because there's no way in Yahoo Fantasy Football to put Arch Manning on the team. There's no way to do it. I still love that he did it. I think it's hilarious.
Are you guys writing these out? Or because there's two different kinds of these draft boards, right? There's ones where the stickers or the things that stick onto it are blank and you write the name of the player. And there's one where the players come printed out. So what were you putting on the board? Was it already?
We just wrote it in.
Okay, you're right.
We wrote it in.
Yeah, because I was gonna say I thought there was a chance that like this like fantasy football draft kit just came with Arch.
That would be amazing. No, that didn't have that.
I think I love this more than the guys who were still taking like Tim Tebow when he was on the Patriots, being like that guy's gonna hit for me.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah. Or especially the Tebow year when he was on the Jags.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was probably the leading last pick of the draft in all leagues. I think he let him do it because, I mean, it's not like...
I'm voting to let him do it.
It's not an advantage.
No, like, he's going to be...
down a roster spot. One of your roster spots is the backup at Texas.
I think you should let him do it, but he has to keep him. He can't drop him for this
year. I think he's going to. He's a diehard Texas fan.
Okay.
I mean, he took Bijan number two overall, too.
Okay.
He's a diehard Texas fan. That was actually a good pick.
I like that.
Yeah, that's not crazy.
Anyway,
he took a kicker in the 11th round and a college freshman.
First kicker off the board by a long shot. But we like Cameron Dicker is a very cool guy.
So he's going to take Quinn Ewers with like the first pick in the draft next year. No matter where Quinn Ewers gets picked in the NFL, he's just going to say, that's my guy.
I bet he picks
Quinn Ewers. Took Arch Manning over Quinn Ewers. The disrespect. He could have got Arch next year.
That's the funniest. That's the funniest part. They have a guy.
He could have taken Quinn Ewers and had him next year.
Great point.
Took Arch and gave him 2 years.
That's a great point. Anyway, Kawan and George, he's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. And shout out to my buddy Brad, who's one of my bros, taking Arch Manning the 17th round of the draft. Coming up next is Justin Verlander washed? What? Stick around.
Hey, this Sunday, the Houston Astros play baseball on ESPN on Sunday Night Baseball against the Arizona Diamondbacks. But if you have DirecTV, you can't watch it right now because DirecTV and DirecTV customers, you have lost ESPN, including college football, Monday Night Football, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, SportsCenter, and more. You can take action now. Call 844-KEEP-MY-ESPN or visit keepmyespn.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.